You know, these like the low numbers tonight. Let me tell you, I believe God to do something in this service tonight. Share some things because the topic tonight is definitely going to be on prayer tonight. So I know we didn't have much prayer here before, but we'll have some at the end of the service. I want to do something there for some people that need prayer tonight. But I want you to just stay focused on what you're doing. Don't get your eyes distracted off something else. I'm talking to you as a small group tonight. Don't let your eyes get distracted onto something else because it will pull you away. Satan will try to pull you away. And where he pulls you, it never is good. It's never a good place. You know, you that you've chosen to be here tonight as believers. And I always believe when you're in the house of the Lord, you've chosen the right thing. So many people miss, and we're talking about that tonight. They're going to miss. They miss what God's pieces are. I know, ladies, small group, I know that that's part of the program. You feel like you have to be here. That's part of the program. But believe me, you still will get stuff out of it if you have an open heart and an open mind. You still will get a lot out of it. But if you have the desire of wanting to come, you'll even get more out of it. Because those of us that are here, that have been here, we didn't always live like this. We didn't always show up to churches. We ran from those things, right? We ran from those things. But God, if you look around, you can see what can God do. Just look around and talk to anybody here. There is, everybody here has a testimony. All right? So, and I know you guys use your phones, but I still use this. It's okay. It's all right. All right, so we are in the house of the Lord today. We're at New Life, and this is what we're going to do tonight. We are going to be talking about prayer. Right now, our church is in a time of prayer and fasting. It's a time of prayer and fasting. This is what I really wanted to talk about, kind of figure out, what am I going to preach at the beginning of the week? The Lord just says, what are you doing? We're prayer and fasting. So we need to talk about prayer and fasting. And prayer and fasting is important. We're going to talk a little bit. It is in the Word of God all over the place. We see it all over the place. If we really think about it, I mean, what are we doing here tonight? Could have stayed home, cooked you up a couple of steaks if you wanted to. Sit back. I don't know if any ball games are on. The race, NASCAR is over, so I'm not watching anything. But you could have stayed home and watched whatever you wanted to watch, do whatever you wanted to do. But no, you chose to be in the house of the Lord. Listen, where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst. I don't want to miss an opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. And tonight, we're in the house of the Lord. And if you know the Word, He's with us tonight. He is with us in this assembly, this group, tonight. So what are we doing? We're here to worship God. We're here to see each other. We're here to learn, and we're here to grow, and we're here to sing to God. We're here to pray. We're here to worship. He's real. Let me remind you, He is real. He's more real than you or I are here tonight. He is more real than the air that you breathe. He is real. Let me share some things with you about prayer tonight. We'll be in some different places, but I want to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. It's a piece that we kind of miss sometimes. Genesis chapter 4, it says in verse 25, Adam made love with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel, since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son, and he named him Enosh. And at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. You see, God talked to Adam. God talked to Cain. But this piece here tells us that men now began to call upon the name of the Lord. Isn't that what we've done tonight? Isn't that what we do? We call upon the name of the Lord. And when we're praying, let me just share with you, through Scripture, we see that men and women have called upon the name of the Lord. Joshua called upon the name of the Lord when he was in a battle. And he asked God to stop the sun so they can win this battle. And the Bible says that God did stop the sun. We see Nehemiah standing there in front of the king. His heart is broken because the city, his home, is in ruins. And he's praying to the Lord as he's talking to the king. We see Esther in a time of not just prayer, but a time of fasting, because she is the one that's going to walk toward the king, and she doesn't have that permission. But in that, without permission, you could be put to death. And even though she was a queen, she could be put to death, but she had something so huge on her heart, she asked people to pray and to fast as she did to save the nation, the Jews. We see Job, when everything was taken away from him, and his wife said, "Won't you just curse God and die?" Lost his family, lost his income, lost everything that he had. They were there together. The wife said, "Won't you just curse God and die?" Job said, "The Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he was prayed, and we see that Job talked to God, wrestling through his problems. We see David and some others, but specifically David in the book of Psalms, where he's heartbroken. He's going through all kinds of valleys in his own personal life, and he pours out his prayers into words that we can read today. We see Jeremiah praying for his heart for his nation, and his heart is broken. He's praying for the people. We see Daniel praying in the midst of almost death, and he gets thrown into the lion's den because he wouldn't turn his back on God. And he prays in the lion's den. We see Jonah as he has ran from God in the belly of a great fish, a whale, as you say, in the belly of it. The Bible says seaweed was wrapped around his body. And he praised God in the belly of the whale. We see the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus is constantly going off to a solitary place, a place of privacy, a place of quietness, to pray to the Father. We see in the book of Acts, we see that Paul and Silas, although they were arrested, they were singing praises and hymns, but they were praising and praying to God in the jail cell. That's just a few of the stories we read all through Scripture, where men and women have called upon the name of the Lord. And they were serious about their prayers. They were serious about when they came to God. They were serious about it when they came to the Lord to pray about a need, to pray about something going on in their life. We've all done that. We've all been there. But how many times have we been to a place of prayer we know when we go to the Lord, we're not sure if He's really even going to answer? We come half-heartedly to pray. We come to a place where we think, oh, boy, we can't. God's not going to hear my prayer. And there's some reasons I'm going to share with you that not much is going to happen. But if we learn to, as we say here at New Life, experience Scripture, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, which is a man or a woman who's living the best they can for the Lord. Yes, they're going to have setbacks. Yes, they're going to make mistakes. But that person who's living in a righteous Christ-like way, it says their prayers are powerful. They just don't go. They go out and God does something with it. Because it's not with selfish motives. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. I know our Sunday nights breakout groups, when we do that, are with Matthew right now. But I want to get a little bit more. I wasn't in some of those because I still help with the nursery, and I kind of like that, so I don't always get into the groups. But here, the Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus talking about prayer. And he talks about, in verse 5, we'll just go ahead and read it. "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrite." A hypocrite is someone that tells you something, maybe to do or not to do, and they do the complete opposite. And they get upset and call you things and call you out on it, but they won't look in the mirror and see their own self. Let's be honest. We've all been a little bit hypocritical, even with our walk with Jesus, toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. But here there was a major problem with these Pharisees and these scribes, and these guys were being very hypocritical for they loved to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. I'm going to turn over here just really quick in the book of Mark. You don't have to go there. But it says in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up and he left the house and he went off into a solitary place where he prayed. He didn't need the crowd. When the crowds were there, he prayed with them. But when he wanted to pray, he went off over here or he went off over there. Even with his disciples, he prayed with his disciples, but he needed to have that time alone with the Father, just like you and I do, amen? Just like we do. But he doesn't say the hypocrites, they love to do it in front of everybody, use them big words. Be seen by everyone. He says they've already got their reward. But he says in verse 7, and when you pray, back in Matthew, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. What does that mean? That the Father knows what we need before we even ask. Well, God knows all things. It's us. We need to be praying so that we will grow. It's not that God's going to grow. God already knows what we need. It's us drawing closer, knowing that where our supplies and our life things come from, it comes from him. If you got a problem, who do we talk to? We need to talk to whatever we need to, but we need to make sure we put God in it. God will not lead us astray. He wants to hear from me every day. He wants to hear from you every day. Every day. Every day. He says, now we know this. He says, our Father, who art in heaven. He says, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And I wanted to share with you, that's where we struggle. There's a little piece about that, a little extra piece on that. Because we like everything that's said in there. We like to be forgiven. We like our daily bread. We like our daily necessities that God gives to us. But when it comes to forgiving those that we need to, he says, it's a little piece there. But he also says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. But he comes right back around to that forgiveness. He says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Sometimes that can be very hard. But one thing I know is that I know in my relationship with God and what I see through Scripture, God loves to work with people who want God working in their life. God is patient. God is understanding. He sees and knows what we've been through. He knows every one of our pasts. He knows everything that you put in your secret skeleton closet that you don't want to revisit, that you don't want to go back to, that you want to hide from everyone else, maybe even your own spouse. Maybe you want to put a lock on it and you throw it away. Listen, that's the stuff that God wants to talk about. Because you put it in there, all it is you're putting walls up. You're keeping it. It's still yours. When you start working with it with God and start letting him have that stuff and that junk that's in the closet, and maybe it wasn't stuff that you did, but maybe someone has done something to you. That's the stuff that God wants to work with. And forgiving others can be very, very hard. But I want to tell you, we serve God who knows about forgiveness. You see, we want to run up to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. And we know through Scripture that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. He'll forgive us of our sins. The Bible says so. But he wants us to learn how to forgive others. We've not always been kind and nice to people. Even as believers, even in this church at times, I'm sure. And we need to learn how to forgive others, even Let me just remind you, even if they don't forgive you, you've got to let, sometimes you've got to let some things go and let God work. Remember, how long did it take for God to work with you? Remember, it may take that much time or more time working with them. Amen? Forgiveness and prayer. But he doesn't stop there. He moves into fasting. Why do we even fast? Why do we take time and fast? Now, right now, our church is in a time of prayer and fasting. From Monday, 6 a.m., we started, to 6 p.m. every evening. We spend that day working with whoever we work for. We do that, but we ponder upon the things of the Lord during that day as we're working. At lunchtime, we either read the Word or we pray or we do both. We think about what we're fasting for, and our church is fasting. Now we're going to open up the men's life house. I'm getting better used to saying that. The men's life house this year for more finances in the church for the things that we need to do and more finances for the ministries to keep our ministries open, but also to open up a new one. But my favorite of all that we're actually fasting and praying for is 21 baptisms this year. I can't make that happen, and neither can you. But I can do, and I can work and serve the Lord with all my heart and opportunities to share the gospel and do those things. I want to do that. But God gives the growth. The 21 baptisms is something that only God can do. But I love seeing things that only God can do. It puts our eyes and fixes our eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, right? That's what Hebrews says. So we don't boast about me as being the pastor. Don't boast about me. I'm not worthy of being boastful. Don't boast on me. Don't boast on this church, but boast on Jesus Christ. On maybe what he does through a church of this size. Jesus is worthy of boasting about. He's done a lot in your life, amen? And you know what? You're still breathing, and he's not done yet. And even when you're done and you leave this world, he's not done because you're going to be with him. So he's not done. This is a relationship that's everlasting, so you need to get to know who this God is, who this Savior is. You need to get to know him now so you don't embarrass yourself when you stand before him and, oh, you need to know him now like you knew him like the moment that you passed away or the moments and the years and all those times that you've been with him that it's just that you just get to see him. You know him just by, you just know him. Do you know Jesus? You'll know him by reading the Word. Yes, you'll know the history. You'll know a lot about him and his character, about the Father and his character and how powerful his love is. But do you know him personally? And that starts at salvation. Let me tell you, that growth does not end at salvation or baptism. It keeps going. Do you know who he is? When you're driving in the car, do you know you're never alone? Do you know that you're never alone? That when you go into that surgery, you're not going to be alone? As a believer in Christ, you're not alone? Let me tell you, God doesn't sit in the waiting room. He doesn't sit in the waiting room. That's where they're praying, but God is with them who they're praying for. Fasting. When you fast, don't look somber. Here we go again. As the hypocrites. Now, I just shared that we're going through a fast. I'm talking to New Life. We're doing this together. Now, if I went out and I said, hey, church, I'm fasting, and you need to know I'm fasting, I'm doing all this. No, don't need to know that. There's times when the church may know certain things that certain people are fasting, but we don't need to be all up in the limelight, in the spotlight, bragging about fasting. You know what? When I share on fasting with others, this is what I say. Will you pray for us that we'll stay strong through our prayer and fasting? Let me ask, what are you praying and fasting for? Well, these are the things we're praying. Oh, that is just awesome. I hope that it encourages them individually and as a church to start fasting. Churches don't fast much anymore, and it is biblical. I just see that Jesus did it. All bunch of characters in God's Word did it. But you got to do it for the right reasons. Fasting draws you closer to God. Jesus says, I have food from this world that you know nothing about. Not talking about food, but a spiritual food. And sometimes when your stomach hungers, you know what? You just push that aside because you're more hungry for God than you are for the food. And you know that food will probably, it's going to come. But you're more hungry for just an intimate, listen, an intimate moment with God is priceless. It is precious. When you have those moments where you feel the Holy Spirit upon you and you have that moment where many times I've had some of those moments just me and the Lord by ourselves. And just, they're so precious at times because you just, you know that He's there and you feel Him and you hear Him and it's just, it's you're in the right place. It's almost like God, it isn't that God shut down the world, but it feels like that, that He came in that room, He came in that car, He came in that place, and it just feels like it's just you and Him. And it is you and Him there, but He knows everything that's going on. He can do everything all at the same time, but it feels like you're so important that it's just you and Him, that He made time for you. But we serve a God that knows all things and is everywhere and hears all. So we don't have to go out and figure out how to make it work. We just need to do it. And He'll be there. He says, but when you fast, put on oil on your heads and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. Because when you're fasting, you're drawing to the Lord. The Lord is the focus. When you start talking to other people about what you're doing and you're boasting, the focus becomes you, right? Look what I'm doing. Okay? But only to, He says, that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Let me just tell you, sometimes the reward is here, and that is awesome. But as we grow up in the Lord, we need to remember that sometimes the reward we don't get right now. But if you know the Lord, and you know the Word, you know that He's storing up rewards for you when you get home, which is in heaven, with the Lord, when you're with the Lord. So what you're doing here, what you do in secret, every time you go off and you pray in secret, God knows every time. He knows every time. But sometimes we pray about things and we struggle, thinking, is God listening? This is why we read the Word. The Word has all kinds of biblical stories. And let me remind you, they happened. They were real. Serving the same God as we're serving today. But sometimes in life we struggle and we wonder, why isn't God listening? God's listening. Why isn't He answering? God answers. What did we just read? If we don't forgive others, we're not forgiven. What hinders us? Sin. Sin is a blockage. Iniquities, sinful living. Living unrighteously. And then we have a crisis in life. And we ask God to come down and fix our crisis. That's a crisis to you, but God sees a bigger crisis. Your life isn't right. Your heart is not right with Him. The crisis to you is real. You're going through it. It is the real deal. You're experiencing all the suffering and pains of your own personal crisis. But what we do is we come to God when we have a crisis, but God's been wanting us to come to Him for a long time. Because this is not right. And if this isn't right, what comes out's not going to be right. It's going to be selfish. And doesn't mean that it doesn't shrink the crisis, okay? It doesn't make the crisis not a crisis. It's a crisis. If it's a crisis for you, it's a crisis. But I'm just telling you, if this isn't right, what comes out is not right. So what do we need to do when we're praying? We need to ask God, God, give me a discerning heart, Lord. This is hard, but say, examine me. me, Lord. Isn't that what we're supposed to do, examine ourselves before we take communion? That's what Paul said to the church of Corinth. You need to examine yourself to make sure you're right with God. If not, you need to take a moment and work it out with Him and get right. Not just ask for forgiveness, but repent. Turn away from that lifestyle that's been dragging you away from God. You know how many prayers are flowing and moving and being spoken in hospitals today? Or even outside nursing homes? And the crisis is real. God is real. The person in there that's struggling with whatever it is, the illness, the tragedy, it's real. But what's more real is this. It's this. You can fool everybody, but you can never fool God with this. God has better eyes than Superman. You see, it's almost like when He sees you, He kind of sees that. We need, I'll say me, I need, and I know what God, this is a special time of prayer and fasting for me. I don't know why, I know a little bit, but God's drawing me closer to Him during this prayer and fasting more than any other. I'm feeling Him. I'm sensing Him. And today is a busy day for me on Wednesdays. Pick up donations. I go to the truck place there and do my Bible study with them. And today it was great. I had 12 people. Man, it was awesome. I got to meet the new owner. It was awesome. Still going to let me come in and do the Bible study. It was really good. But I also had this 11 o'clock piece. Guy called me up last week from India and said, hey, Jimmy, I met you. You did a round table in Indianapolis. Hey, can you come over and just pray at an apartment with us? I'm like, okay, I'll do that. Okay, I couldn't quite remember who he was, but when I saw him, I seen his face. Okay, that's the guy. We had two other guys with him. And what he does, I got the name of it here. I just want to share it with you. It is called the Community Care Network. I didn't want to mess it up. Community Care Network. What they do is they got 18, I found this out, they got 18, what they do is they go into an apartment, they find God, Jesus-loving couples, and they will put them into an apartment. And they'll pay for, it sounds like they pay for the rent. And they want them to listen, you got to be kind of called to this. You need to love on all the people. Your goal is to be a person of peace and love in that apartment complex. And so they have 18 over the state of Indiana. It was awesome. They have two places in Fort Wayne. I was in the parking lot of one today, found out that I don't know what happened with the other one, but they need two couples. Don't do it with single, but they want to do it with couples. And listen, if your life is not right, that's not good. You're not ready for something like that. You see what I'm saying? So they asked me to pray, so we were praying. They asked me, hey, I met some couple new guys, and these guys were already in the other apartments in other cities, but they asked them to come and pray, and they're being successful in their cities, and they're praying here in Fort Wayne. So the guy that's running it had this team together. And they asked me about New Life, and they were like, well, that's awesome, that's great. I want to give God the glory for it. They said, what are you guys doing now? And I entered into prayer and fasting. This is what we're doing. And they said, I know you came to pray for us, but let's pray for you. We need to pray for New Life, 21 baptisms, and a men's life house. That is just awesome, man. They just put hands on. And then one guy stood up, and one guy, we were out. It was cold today. My ears were like burning red. But you know what? I was putting that stuff aside. And one of the guys said, you know, I don't know why, but today when I got in my car, I just went by, I grabbed four cups. I said, I know we're going to do communion today. Grabbed up four pieces of bread in the bag. He said, I don't know why I brought four. I knew there were only going to be three. I didn't know you, Jimmy. I didn't know you were going to be here. But you know what? I think we're supposed to do this. So we had communion in a parking lot. And I just heard, this was really good for me to hear the, the hearts of these men to sharing what God has put up in front of them. And some of these couples, they're selling their homes and they're just selling their homes and going into an apartment. And this is their ministry, to start sharing the gospel, love on people, get to know people, knock on doors, have a little cookout. And then, you know, then they are connected to a local church and they work with that. But it's all about loving on them, knocking these walls down. And he said, I just can't keep up. God's blessing us. We're in 18 different apartments across Indiana. I never thought of that. You know where it started? Somebody was praying about how do we work in apartments. That's God's business. That's the Father's business. Isn't that what Jesus said? Listen, that's what Jesus said. Listen, let me just throw you a curveball tonight. That's not what Jesus said as an adult. That's what Jesus said at 12 years old when Joseph and Mary couldn't even find him. And they found him. And he said, I must be in my Father's house. I must be about my Father's business. At 12 years old. You start talking about what the Father's business is, you're in his world. And his world is about saving lost souls. Because if anybody knows where hell is and what it is and what it's all about, and he doesn't want anybody to go there. He doesn't want anyone to go there. In fact, he doesn't want no one to go there so much that he gave his only son, did he not? Because he loves people so much. And his own son died. But it also was resurrected. That we might follow in salvation. And we have a resurrection. And God wants all people to be saved. But we know that not all people will not. So it's a spiritual battle. And prayer is work. Prayer is work. And it's work I'm willing to do. And it's work that this church should be willing to do. And will I fall short in it sometimes? Yeah. I'll fall short from time to time. I'm going to fall short. But God loves it when you keep going at it. You're not going to hit the ball over the fence every time. Because you learn more. Yeah, you know where I'm going, right? Those obstacles are not always bad. They're learning curves. Learning obstacles. Read this. One more time. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they explained, "Everyone has been looking for you." And Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. Jesus, being Jesus, if he knew it was right to go off and pray, that being Jesus, we ought to be going off and praying. And what he said, we're looking for you. And Jesus says, okay, we got to go. Where do you think he got that instruction from? Father. Communion, always communicating with the Father. Jesus always knew what to do. Why? Because he was always talking to the Father. When I don't know what to do, sometimes I get in the flesh and I'm like looking and I'm spinning and I'm moving around. The Spirit hits me and says, you know where the answer is. Oh, yes. Lord, forgive me. What do you want me to do? Sometimes I'm looking for a big loud noise. I'm looking for a big sign. But I got to remember what God taught the prophet. Not in the storm, not in the earthquake, not in the whirlwind, but in that still, small voice. Listen, God has a lot to say. Not just to me, but to everyone. We've got to listen. We've got to speak with what's on our heart. How many of you know that you need to have a better prayer life? That's something I think if we said it 20 years from now, we would all say yes, and you have a better prayer life. But let me remind you, your prayer life today should be better than your prayer life last year. And God allows us to keep going on this big old ball of mud, and we hit 2025, our prayer life should be better in 2025 than it was in 2021. What I'm saying is we need to be drawing closer to God every single day. And how do you draw closer to God? You read His Word. You worship Him. And you can worship Him everywhere, but there is, you know how it is. There is something about being in the house of God. Can I tell you something about that? Everywhere you worship, you're telling God to come to the worship. But when you're coming into the worship of the house, you're going to worship. You've got to put effort in it. And besides reading God's Word and worshiping, and don't forget the praise. Just because we can't sing like Ashley, I can't. I praise and He hears my heart. Praise God, He don't hear my voice. But it's praying. It's getting closer. It's praying. Praying to Him. And we all love the Lord tonight. I love Him. You know, I just feel this week He's saying, won't you get a little closer to me? You know what that usually means sometimes. You guys, He's got something to say. Or He's got something He wants to do. I know there's a lot of stress going on in the world today. But I'll tell you, I've had more peace in the last 60 days than I've ever had in my whole life. And the only way I can explain it is Jesus. That's it. That's it. That's it. And tonight, you came to worship. And you've got this, I pray, was fed to you, but not by my words, but by His. Let's stand tonight. I hope you believe tonight it was good to be in the house.